The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to The Dating Show on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome. Good day to you. Good welcome.
Good. Yes. Welcome. Good.
Welcome. Good to you. Good welcome.
Good welcome. Hello.
To our show. Hello. It is called The Dating Show. Hello.
It's on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, it is.
And I'm Pete.
And I'm Cece.
And we host it in that. Hello.
Hello. How are
hello.
You?
Hello. I'm delightful. Hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm fucking fabulous, to be fair.
Hello.
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 Like you're talking to me like I'm a dog.
Sit. You're a good boy. You're a good boy.
I'm glad you do that because I do it too.
Yeah, I do.
Myself on Instagram because I keep putting these dogs up and I've got the full on dog voice. So I'm like, oh shit, I need to make sure I don't put the sound up because it's all.
Yeah, but at least you go low. I don't mind it when people do it and they go low. Like, hello, you're a good boy. I hate them. Why? Oh, don't like it.
I say. Hey.
Hey. Hey, you stop that. Hey.
What are we going to talk about today, Pete?
Well, I think we should talk about dating in your 20s versus your 30s.
Oh, juice. All right.
Juice. Who don't like a bit of juice?
I like a bit of juice.
Do you want a bit of juice?
Bit of juice, yeah.
What would you like? What sort of juice do you want? I've got some juice. You want some juice?
I want, like, juice.
I want juice. And because obviously you and I are in our 30s and we're no longer in our 20s, but we've both done quite a bit of dating, we just thought we'd fuck a guest off. So fuck the guest. No guest.
Let's talk about us.
Yeah, it's just me and Cece today. The dream team.
Which we generally prefer anyway, don't we? So
yeah, we do. We don't like anyone else getting involved in our shit.
No.
No offence to all the guests that we've had before and we'll have coming.
Love you all.
But we prefer us. So we're also doing weird and wonderful dating news and listeners' questions and stories. But before we do that, what time is it, Cece?
Before we do that, we're going to get to the time where Pete expresses himself.
I am going to express myself.
How are you going to express yourself?
This week, I'm going to do an expressional dance.
Oh. Fuck, I did not know that was coming. I love it when you surprise me.
Well, listen, I am full of surprises.
That was really good.
Thank you. It just, it signified my mood today.
Well, then you must be in a fucking decent ass mood because that was jazzy.
Yeah. It was magical, wasn't it?
Real jazzy, yeah.
Thank you.
Taking dance lessons or been to, like, you know, dance?
No, because I can't even clap to a beat.
Ooh-wee. Okay. I don't know why I'm talking like this.
We don't know either. God, who needs guests when we've got so many different voices?
Who needs guests when we... Yeah, exactly. We can just pretend. Fuck, that's what we need to do next time, just pretend. This is Sarah.
Right, so the expressional dance, that was just a little added bonus because actually I'm going to give you the date and sex book.
Give me it. Give it to me, baby.
Give it to me, baby.
Yeah.
Do it again for me.
Give it to me, baby. Why are we always delayed and out of sync when we sing? Like, I don't really get it.
I do. It's because you're in fucking Bali.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Not to go on about it. If you didn't know, everyone, that Cece's in Bali and has been for...
I think by my tan, they should know. Because
ever. She's been in Bali forever.
My tan's real.
That was rude. That was rude, but very true.
Your tan looks beautiful.
Thank you. So does yours.
Thank you. It's real.
I love you.
I love you more.
Incel. Yes, this one isn't a dirty one. This is actually quite an interesting one.
Incel. Can you give me a clue?
No.
Okay. Incel, and it's not dirty. I don't know then, because if it's not dirty and...
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this one. So, incel. An incel, which is short for involuntary celibate.
Right.
Okay. It's a person, usually male, who has a horrible personality and treats women like sexual objects and thinks his lack of sex life comes from being ugly, when it's really just his blatant sexism and terrible attitude. So in other words, the entitled dickhead on dating apps who calls you an ugly bitch right after you ignore and or reject his gross attempt at an opening line. That's called an incel.
I had no idea where you were going to say that.
Yes. So,
interesting.
So it's someone that hasn't had a lot of sex and blames that on the fact that they think it's because they're not attractive enough. But actually, it's got nothing to do with the way they look. It's just to do with they're a complete and utter wanker.
There's so many levels to this, because obviously they've been, for the first part, they're really insecure because they don't believe that they're... It all comes down to insecurity. So actually...
And I think a lot of the time, yeah, I agree with that. And I think a lot of the time, it's what, for example, if someone chats you up on a dating app and they're a complete cock, so like the opening line, or you're just not interested and they get ignored or refused or whatever else, and then they start, it's then people then start going, well, you're an ugly fuck anyway. Like, they start being an arsehole.
That's I don't like that.
Yeah, so that's an
incel. They're an incel.
Involuntary... celibate cock.
Yeah, that I like the end. Yeah, that yeah. Involuntary yeah. celibate cock. ICC.
ICC. Yeah.
Okay. ICC.
ICC. ICC.
ICC.
ICCC.
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 Oh, fuck. Is this something to do with the fact that our topic's 20s to 30s?
ICCC.
Do you know what? We're going to move on. We're going to move on from that. We're going to move on to the weird and wonderful dating news, because...
But I do see CC.
As much as this is weird, we're going to get a little bit more weird.
Let's get weird.
Let's get really weird. Are you ready for this?
Let's get weird, yeah.
Let's get weird. So I spent £750 on ultimate revenge on my ex.
Why
would you do that? Well, because some people said she's crazy. This person doesn't believe she is. Breakups are hard.
Crazy.
That makes me crazy.
I think you're crazy.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Okay, so breakups are hard, and many heartbroken people find themselves searching for ways to get revenge on the person who screwed them over. Many do this by flooding their social media with glamorous photos to show their ex what they're missing. Thinking of the best way that she could do this, Andrea, who has 1.5 million followers on Instagram, splashed out £750 promoting photos of herself on the platform so that her pictures appeared on her ex's timeline. She got the target demographic to exactly that of her ex, and that she had to constantly see, so that he constantly had to see her face. She shared her story on TikTok and was greeted with praise for her creative idea, with one saying, "Me struggling to pay my last month's rent, but would still do this," and another adding, "This is crazy, but how do I do it?" So, Pete.
I think you're crazy.
Have you ever, when you've gone for a breakup, so two questions here. Have you ever...
Gone through a breakup.
Three questions then. Question number two is, have you ever, you know, put loads of cool, sexy ass pictures more than you... Well, you don't really put many up, but you always look gorgeous and sexy. So more than normal, just to say, like, fuck you to your ex. Or have you had an ex do that to you?
No, I've never done it. I'm not... do you know what? It's really weird. Everyone always takes a piss out of me for this. I'm not very good at social media and stuff anyway. And I hate posting stuff. So I only really post when I have to. Or when I'm told to, which is why all of mine are just car selfies, because my management, like, you've got to put something up, and I'm like, oh, fuck's sake, so I just sit in the car and take a picture. But
I know this about you, this is funny. I can just tell.
I hate doing it.
I know, I can tell. But your pictures are beautiful.
So I don't really do that sort of thing, but I've certainly had it done to me. Yeah. When you split up with someone and suddenly it's them like looking amazing on holiday in a bikini or like some, like, do you know what I mean? Or in underwear or whatever else. It's always a sexy picture. And it's like, you always end up
seeing. How does that make you feel?
Slightly cringed out.
Okay.
It makes me think, the caption is like, onto the next, or like,
on up.
Missing out.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Not really.
I'm glad you said cringe.
It makes me look at you and go, ooh.
Yeah. Well, I feel the same. I'm really glad you said that, because actually I've never had a male perspective on it, because there's definitely been times where I have gone through breakups and thought, I'm going to put a really good picture up just to make you jealous. That person knows exactly what you look like in the morning, the evening, the afternoon, the fucking makeup on, makeup off, sex phase, non-sex, like they see everything. So they know it anyway. So this like lovely picture that we think we're putting up has no effect. That's how I feel. So you've just confirmed that.
I'm sure it does for some people, but it just kind of, I don't like the kind of subtle, thinly veiled digs and shit that people do on social media anyway. I just find it like stupid captions that are relating specifically to one person, or pictures that are for someone's benefit, and you know they are. It just makes me think, ugh.
Yeah, it does me too. I mean, I'm saying this because I know a few friends that do this, and it's like the healing process, isn't it? It's like what you go through when you're trying to like find a way to make yourself feel better because you're in pain, and you think by getting one over on your ex is going to do that. This woman in particular, I mean, to spend 750 quid doing that is, I personally would go to therapy and spend £750 on therapy. And the subject could maybe be spite. Like, why am I spiteful? Why do I need to hurt people? You know,
I would spend £750 on tequila and then I'd forget they even exist.
Or you can do that. But that is actually therapy. That's a form of it. You know, that's what you, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. My therapist is tequila.
Is it? Your therapist is called Patron?
Yes. I love that. Right, should we move on to the next one? Because this one's going to be fucking good.
Okay,
all right.
Give it to me.
So the nation's top 10 sexual desires bucket list is revealed.
Ooh.
A new survey by Illicit Encounters has found that 62% of women and 63% of men have a sex bucket list of fantasies they would like to try out. Whilst 42% of women and 39% of men have ticked off at least three items on their list, 72% of women and 78% of men have unfulfilled ideas that they would like to experience before they die.
Interesting.
So I'm going to give you the top 10 bucket lists for men and for women. All right. So the top 10 bucket list of sexual desires for women in order of preference.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in at number 10. Bondage session with blindfolds and handcuffs. Tick.
Okay, so this is... Okay, so... All right, carry on. Go. Did I just see a tick from you?
I didn't... I thought that's what we were doing. Oh, no tick.
Oh, so hang on. We're exposing ourselves here. Okay, go on then, carry on.
Having sex again with your first love.
The silence. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not doing the ticking thing. I've just realised that there's quite a few things on here.
We're definitely not doing the ticking thing, no.
Number 8, sex with a handsome stranger they see regularly in their daily routine but don't know. Number 7, trying tantric sex. Number 6, multiple orgasms in one sex session. Is that a bucket list thing? It's just good sex, isn't it?
Yeah, well, no, we'll give it to them. We'll give it to them.
Yeah, we will. We will give it to them.
We'll give it to them.
Number 5. So this is the top 5 now for women. Sex with their best looking and most charismatic male friend or work colleague. I'm going to pretend that's on your bucket list.
Okay.
Number 4. Dirty weekend in a 5-star hotel.
That?
Shit.
Yeah.
Number 3, sex on a paradise beach. And the top 2, sex with your favourite celebrity comes in at number 2. Number 1 on the most desired sexual bucket list for women is to recreate their favourite sex scene in a movie or TV show. What's yours? Favourite sex scene in a movie or TV show? I know which you're going to say, and I bet it's the same for a lot of women.
What is it? Go on.
Got to be Pretty Woman in it.
Do you know what? I don't think I've ever wanted to create. Being completely honest with you,
neither have I. To be honest with you,
wanted to recreate anything? Like, no, I've never really thought, "Oh, let's do this" at all.
All right. Well, that's apparently the top. That's the top 10 for women. Men. Ready for this?
Yeah, I'm hoping it's going to be
gone. Top 10 bucket list of sexual desires for men in order of preference. Coming in at number 10, sex on a paradise beach. Coming in at number 9, we did it last week, I think, a threesome. Well, we didn't do it last week. I mean, we had someone on the show who was asking. We didn't have a threesome because she's in Bali. Well, that's not the main reason we didn't have a threesome. It's number 8.
You are digging a hole, boy. Go on, carry on.
Number 8, having sex again with their first love. Number 7, dirty weekend in a 5-star hotel. Number 6, joining the Mile High Club.
Okay.
Number 5, having sex with a stunning stranger they see regularly in their daily routine but don't know. Number 4, revisiting my best ever sex with a former lover.
Oh, I like that one.
Number 3, making a fuck tape.
Well, it wasn't quite put like that, but that's Pete's version. Go on.
It sounds better though, doesn't it?
It does sound better, yeah.
Yeah. You want to make a fuck tape?
Yeah. You want to
make a fuck tape? You want to make a fuck tape?
You should make it every year.
We're fucking, we're recording. We're fucking
tape. Fuck tape, take fuck.
You want to make a fuck tape?
You want to make a fuck tape?
Yeah, we'll make
a fuck tape.
Jesus Christ. Yep. We're never making fuck tapes.
No.
Number 2, having sex with their best looking female friend or work partner. Say, say. You want to make a fuck tape?
You want to make a fuck tape?
And number 1 for men is having sex with their favourite celebrity.
Interesting. So the only one out of both those lists that I would actually think is in would want to do was
revisiting
best the best ever sex with a former lover. That's about the only one I think I've ever thought of.
I'm not going to say much about them lists.
On, say what you're going to say. Go on, get it out.
Some of them I find quite, like, I wouldn't say
normal?
More bucket. Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Like, some
especially
of them are
like
a bit
the hotel one. It's like, isn't that just something you do when you meet someone? Like, you mean when you're in a, like, you're in the fun stage and you just go to a hotel.
But, I mean, some of them, listen, it's all, each to their own. But I was expecting it to be a bit wilder than what it is. So I'm going to ask you one question, though, because it was number 1 for men and number 2 for women, sex with a favourite celebrity. If who would that be for you?
Probably, I'd really quite like to have sex with Ryan Gosling.
Do you know what? Like, I just fucking know. And do you know what's really weird?
Go on. Would you too?
Yes, I would. I would say, if I met Ryan, I would say, you want to make a fuck tape? You want to make a fuck tape? we could double date because I...
Oh, you'd go for mate.
Eva Mendes would be mine.
So I feel like this D, we could try and set this up somehow.
I feel like it, I potentially feel like it could happen.
Yeah. I've actually thought about having sex with him, to be fair. And sometimes I visualize him.
Have you fuck-faced someone?
Is that when I visualize Ryan and actually I'm having sex with someone else? Yes.
Have you?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I've never fuck faced.
I didn't know about it up until a few years ago. I always thought I was in the moment. And then someone put it in my head and she was actually talking about her husband. And she said, yeah, you know, does someone else just casually think about someone else? And I was like, no, but let me try this. And when it's really dark, like you can't really do it in a light room because it's the person. But when it's really dark, yeah, I have definitely tried.
Ryan! My name's Dave. Oh.
Well, then there's that, you know, it's probably best done sober, so there's no mistakes.
Yeah, exactly, because then you'd have to take it out of the fuck tape.
Out of the fuck tape.
I don't know why that's going to become a thing now.
Yeah,
it is, isn't it? We've just made a little thing, haven't we? You fuck tape? anyway, what would be your top bucket list? Do you know what I'm surprised isn't in there for anyone?
Go on.
Fucking while people watch, like in a public or something where people can see it.
Yeah. I don't really want to experience myself, but what I'm going to say is I've really enjoyed, and this is actually on topic, I've really enjoyed sex in my 30s. Way more than in my 20s.
What? Do you know what? Cece, this is why you're the most professional person I know, because the segue into our topic.
The segue into the topic
was very, very good.
I've completely ignored
my question.
Being diplomatic. I feel like
no, it's called learn being that, a pussy.
No, it's working with you, Pete. I've had to learn how to swiftly move on or
avoid me.
Avoid, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
lots of women seem to have worked that one out. How to avoid Pete Wicks. That made me sound like a pest. I'm not.
No, you're not a pest at all.
No.
You want to make a fuck tape?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sex life? I was going to follow on with something else, but I'm just going to ask outright. How's your sex life? That's question number one.
In comparison to my 20s.
No, just oh, I was going to ask that. Fuck it. Do you know what? I'll be kind to you. How was the comparison between your 20s to your 30s sexual activity?
Less frequent.
Right.
But obviously I'm single. And I think being single in your 30s, you do have less sex than you do in your 20s. Because for me, I was a bit of a wanker in my 20s. I'm still a wanker now, but like in my 20s, I was a bit of a wanker. What a wanker. in my 20s, it was definitely, I was more promiscuous, I suppose, than I am now. But I do feel like it is quality over quantity.
That's a very mature statement from Mr. Wicks.
Yeah. So, sex is better like in your 30s. I agree. But because you've had more experience, you've had more, you know more what you like, and I think you're more appreciative of what the girl likes as well as you get older. Because I think sometimes in your 20s, it's very much, you know,
wham bam.
As long as I get what I want, then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think it's a more unifying experience in your 30s than it is in your 20s.
What a lovely statement from you. That was very diplomatic, actually.
Thank you.
Maybe we're learning from each other. I'm learning just to say it how it is, and you're learning how to be diplomatic.
Yeah. So, but in terms of dating, again, dating-wise, I probably date less again in my 30s than I did in my 20s as well. It's all slowed down a bit. I think I'm getting a bit old. I dated an awful lot in my 20s.
Okay.
I was like a lot.
I mean, I feel like you date a lot now, but that's because there's a slight bit of envy from my side. It's not because I'm like, God, you're going on another date. How lovely. Like, because I love dating. So if you're dating more than you do now, fuck me, that restaurant you take them all to must be fucking, they must, no wonder you're like VVVVVIP when you go there. it's all love for me.
Thank you. You were my first tip. I think as well, dating wise, I enjoy dating now, and it doesn't always have the same crescendo anymore. So for example, this is going to sound really bad, but
get it out.
Dating in your 20s, you kind of date and you end up having more sex with people on dates, even if you're not interested in it going further or whatever else. It's kind of what you do. It's just more of a, that's how your dates kind of go. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think now I go on more dates and it doesn't result in sex.
Yeah.
I think that's nice, because actually I care more about the date and getting to know someone and spending time talking to someone and finding out about people, because I love doing that. And I think that's what's changed from 20s to 30s. Actually, the actual date part of it is the good bit. It's not the, oh, I'm going to go on a date. I wonder if I'm going to have sex with them. Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder if it's going to be a good date. You don't even think about the sex bit. And then sometimes it's just an added bonus. But the actual date bit is the more important thing, because I care what someone's got to say. I care what I can learn from them. I care what who they are, where they've been, and what their story is. Whereas I don't think I really did in my 20s. I think it was more about just, do I fancy them? Do I want to have sex with them? How do I get to that point? You know?
So interesting. Yeah.
That makes me sound like an arsehole, but...
No, it doesn't. It actually doesn't at all in any way. I think it's really, really honest. And it's quite nice to hear it from... Like, because you're always honest, right? Even if it doesn't sound like what you people want to hear, you'll always be honest. And it's good to understand that, because I kind of thought that way about dating with men, you know, like going on dates in my 20s. I'm like, does this guy actually really want to have a conversation with me, or is he just trying to get from A to Z? So it's, you've basically, you know, sort of summarized that and said, yeah, there probably was a bit more about that. And I, maybe that's why dating in my 30s has been more enjoyable, because I'm actually having quality conversations with people. And most of my dates don't end up in sex. It just ends up with a really good conversation.
And I think the more you date, and certainly as you get older, the dates become better because the conversation becomes better, because you've had more life experience. You've all had different stories and you've been through different things. And I think that shapes you as you are, and you start to, it's a lot nicer going on a date with someone who knows themselves than it is with someone who is still trying to figure themselves out, because you kind of get a real sense of who the person is. Whereas I think in your 20s, everyone's kind of just trying to find out who they are and you know, what they want to do and all that sort of stuff. And it can be a bit like chaotic, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit like, oh, I learned something today, and so I'm going to share it because it's more about like, let me tell you what I can get out, not like going in a relaxed state of mind. What I will say, and it's just picking up from like being more comfortable, like you just said, you know, about dating in 30s, being more comfortable, is I have found that sometimes it then becomes a little bit of a friend zone, because you've got two people coming in at a real comfortable state in their lives, and they're like, you know, the pressure's off, because you're like, fuck it, whatever happens from this, it really doesn't matter, because you've got experience. And then I find it becomes this bit of a like, okay, are we now friends, or is this, do we fancy each other? Like, what is this? Why are you smiling?
I think it's interesting.
Okay, is that what you got for me? Or are you going to give me some?
No, I think it's interesting, because is that more of a you thing?
Probably.
And the reason I say that is because it's very clear, or maybe it's just because it's actually might be a me thing that I'm actually
projecting onto me.
So basically, if I'm going on a date, it's very clear that I'm on a date, and it's always very, I'm quite flirty.
I hear you.
It's never gone friend zone-y for me. I don't think I'm not really the friend zone sort of. I don't think anyone really wants to be my friend. That's probably why. But do you know what I mean? So you saying that, is that because your dates, you feel like in your 30s, maybe they're not as flirty, or the sexual chemistry isn't there because it builds?
Yeah, actually, maybe you're right. Maybe that's what it is.
Because even now, like, I can have a great conversation like, and go out, and but it's still very flirty and whatever else, you know what I mean? And even if it doesn't necessarily lead to anything else, I like, one of my favorite parts about a date is that there is that undertone of flirtiness.
Same, yeah.
I love that part. Like, it's all well and good. So as much as I'm sitting here saying I love getting to know people and all that sort of stuff, which I do, there's always, you've got to have that undertone of flirtiness, because that's the thrilling part of being on a date. Otherwise, you could just be talking to your friend. And then that's dating. So I always make sure that there's always got to be that undertone of, oh, like, does she fancy me? Do I fancy her? Like, do you know what I mean? That's what makes a date exciting. That chemistry.
I think it's to do with alcohol as well, because in my 20s, my thing was I would just get absolutely smashed. We'd have a 10-hour date and end up snogging somewhere on the dance floor. Like, that would be my dates, you know. And then the whole joke of it was I'd go on a second date with them, and it was the best thing ever, because we'd then repeat the conversation because none of us could remember it from the day before, like the however before. So I thought that was and I loved dating in my 20s. That was amazing. Now I'm trying not to get to the point where I get so wrecked that I start to fancy someone because I'm drunk. Go on.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, actually. And I think you said this before, because obviously I like a drink, you know that. Everyone knows that. So, but I don't get like fucked. Do you know what I mean? But I have had dates sometimes who will then try and keep up with me and get fucked. But I think that leads into what I was going to say now, is that we're both early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we dating someone in their 20s when we're our age.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to expose you or anything, but you recently at some point went on a date, yes, with someone that was in their 20s.
Yes.
And I think I remember you saying, just quite immature.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I date, you know, people in their 20s sometimes, most of the time. And obviously, it's different because men and women, I don't care what anyone says, they do mature differently. I do fully believe that. And I think women are more mature than men. But it is different in your 30s when you are dating someone in your 20s, what you both want and how you both see a date going. And sometimes I've been on dates where I've thought, do you know what, if I was fucking 20, this would be a great date.
You know, really?
Great date, because you're doing all the things that I probably wanted to do when I was fucking 20 odd. And now I'm a bit older, I'm a bit like, well, I've got work tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? Like, I never say that. But
no, you clearly don't.
Yeah. See what I mean? No, it's a great story though. But I can't. So yeah, and I think that makes it weird, because then if I go on dates with people in their 30s and the whole date is very, very different.
Mm.
Dating a woman in her 30s to dating a woman in her 20s is a very different experience for me.
I agree with you. Yeah.
And probably the same for you. Dating a man in his 30s and dating a man in his 20s is a very different experience.
To be fair, I haven't had a date with someone in their 20s for a very long time up until recently, and I forgot what it was like, because you just don't do it.
And I remember you saying to me when you said how old this guy was. By the way, he was late 20s. This isn't like he was a young guy. I said, and I was like, well, it's not that big a difference, is it? It's like fucking a few years between you and him. And you was like, no, it makes a big difference. And then when you told me about it afterwards, I was like, oh, fuck me, maybe it does make a big difference. Because I would assume that's barely a difference. Do you know what I mean? Between his age and your age. But actually, maybe that does make a big difference.
Well, like you said, right at the start, is, you know, when you were in your 20s, maybe it was more about like, how am I going to fuck this person? Whereas when you're 30s, you're like, let's have a good conversation.
Mm.
So I guess that's the difference, is you can tell when someone's just like nodding to everything and agreeing and being the best perfect date, because they're just trying to get to that point of having sex. Whereas I don't feel that rush when I'm dating someone in my 30s. Because maybe they're not trying to just get to that point. Maybe they are actually looking for something a bit more serious, or getting to the point where, you know, they're working out, am I going to be someone in their life that could be a potential partner?
Do you know what? And there's no specific reason. Like, when you hit 30, you don't go through a change. Like, we're still young. We're not old. We're not fucking past it or anything like that. But you do. It's almost like when you hit your 30, if you kind of go, oh, fuck me. And it's like it changes overnight.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely think that, which I know sounds ridiculous to people, like thinking, well, what's the fucking difference? You were 29 the day before, but it's like it changes overnight and you go, come on, I'm 30 now. I have to do things differently. And I think a lot of people do that. I don't know why that happens, because it's because 30 starts to sound a little bit older, but we're still very young.
We are still young, but I think it's harder for
women. We are young.
We are, I promise we are. For women, there's a bit of a bigger build-up. You start getting to that sort of 20 and like you're like, oh, and then you get to 29, you're like, fuck. And then, excuse me, you probably spend most of your 29th year thinking about turning 30, and then you turn 30 and you're like, fuck, I'm here. And then it is literally that, oh, this is fucking cool. Like, actually, nothing's changed. Feel really good.
And I want to make a fuck tape.
And I want to make a fuck tape. And I'm okay with wanting to make a fuck tape. Whereas in your 20s, you're still worried about being called a slag or worried about all these other things. Whereas in your 30s, you're like, fuck it. I'm in my 30s.
So so this is quite an interesting one, which might be different from a male perspective to a female perspective. Do you feel more confident dating in your 30s than you did in your 20s?
1,000%.
Really?
But actually, well, hang on. Oh, hang on. Yes, I do, because I know I'm learning to know myself better, right? So I can go on a sober date now. That's the difference. In my 20s, a sober date, fuck off. like, I thought the best version of me was me skidding on my knees with fucking tequila in my eye.
I would just like to point out that that is the best version of me.
I mean, I am a fucking good drunk.
I love that version.
You've seen that version. Yeah. So
don't get me wrong, I like the sober version. It's just a bit,
boring.
Yeah.
It's just a bit mature, a bit adult, isn't it? No, but I just thought that was it. But then, you know, when you're looking, if someone's looking at you, potential to be the fucking parent, the mother of their children, do they want to see this girl skidding on her knees, pouring a shot of tequila in her eye? Maybe not. You know, like, my mum's at it again. She's on her knees.
I don't know about other guys, but I think personally, on my point of view, I feel like I'm probably less confident in my 30s.
Really?
Yeah. Because probably because I was in my fucking peak and my prime in my 20s, and now I look like a washed up old dinner lady. But but not just that, I feel like because in my 20s it didn't matter.
Yeah.
There was no pressure on it.
Yeah.
Whereas in your 30s, every date you kind of think, well, maybe like something, I might actually like this, but, or maybe this could be someone that I would see myself with. Like, do you know what I mean? Not
totally
saying
that you're going to anything
looking for, you know, a relationship, like, because evidently I don't. But I mean, like, I feel like there's more potential dating now in my 30s because you do it less and you want more from the date than what I used to want. Mm. So actually, it didn't really fucking matter, the dates in my 20s. So actually, if it was like a bad, and I'm really lucky, a touch wood, and I say this all the time, I'm so fortunate I've never had a bad date. Well, I've never had a bad date. They've probably had terrible ones with me, but I've never had a bad date. Like, but the pressure, I feel like there's more pressure dating in your 30s because you're looking for more than what you were in your 20s. So actually,
You
want it to be better.
But actually, I think it's a phase.
What do you mean?
Maybe this is up until I came to Bali, and maybe it's just because it's so relaxed out here. But I felt the pressure. I would think, every person I was going on a date with, I'd be like, right, I've got to work out whether you're going to be something more than just a boy. You know, are you going to be like, are you going to be the father of my children? You know, how are you going to support me as a man?
Oh, yeah, that's all a lot of pressure.
This shit. Exactly. And because society made me feel like I should be thinking that way and that I should have a partner and should have all these things. Now, I couldn't be more. I mean, the fact that I went on a date with someone who's in their fucking 20s says it all. I clearly don't give a shit. I would never have done that before. But because I've just let the pressure go, it's like what will be, you know. If I'm meant to meet someone when I'm 50, I'll meet them when I'm 50. Mm. But I definitely had that phase. Mm. And it could be Bali, it could be age. I don't really know. Maybe both. But I feel like I've come out the other end. Did I show you around my villa? Villa. I've got a pool just in front of me. I mean,
you've got a pool?
Got a pool.
I've got I've got a big puddle here.
Yeah, I've got
some raining.
Pools. Yeah, it hasn't been raining here.
No, is it not?
No.
Fucking bitch.
I had another question for you. This is a question. Is this a line or is this legit? So many a time I've had been on dates and men have said to me, I don't usually tell people this.
It's a line.
And then they, oh, really?
Right. Listen, I'm going to be quite honest here. And this is, sorry, lads, for giving it away. But women do this exactly the same thing. Generally, when people start with, right, so how many times have you heard this on dates, right? This is how you know. I just feel like we've known each other forever.
Oh, yeah, for me, that's a line.
But
yeah,
listen,
I've heard that.
As if no one's ever said that. So then people will then tell people stuff and go, God, I never tell anyone this. Guarantee they have. Almost guarantee they have. Yeah? It's because people, you do get comfortable with people sometimes and you do feel like giving something away, but you've done it before. Guaranteed you've done it before. Especially people that date a lot, you do that because dates all go around the same sort of circles a lot of the time. It's very rare you'll go on a date, and I genuinely mean this, you can have good dates and you can have all right dates, but they still follow a similar pattern a lot of the time, I feel like, because we all get into a dating routine, and everyone does.
I don't care who
you are. I don't care whether you date all the time or never. Everyone gets into a bit of a dating routine of how a date goes. And I completely forgot where I was going now.
Well, I was your date routine and the line of I've never told anyone this before, yeah, or I don't usually tell people this.
So them sort of things, you can get caught up in things and think you've not done that, but you have done that before a lot of the time, because now and then, whether it be a good date or a bad date, everyone follows a similar sort of pattern. And actually, it's very rare, and this is actually what I've learned, is that you can, I've been on loads of great dates, loads.
all right.
Because I've dated so
loads.
Much. No, and I've dated some amazing people. But how many of them dates can I still remember now? And that don't amalgamate into one.
Right.
So what the difference between a good date is great, but an exceptional date is very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very rare. You can have, like I said, I've never had a bad date. But like when I think about dates and I kind of think, oh, fuck, yeah, that happened. Oh, yeah, because I forget bits because they sometimes they're all very similar.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's great. I have a great time and whatever else. But an exceptional date.
Similar type of girl, yeah.
An exceptional date. How many of them have you had? And I'm talking like a date where you go, fuck, this is what happened, and this is how I felt, and this is even.
Well, they turn into boyfriends. If I have an exceptional day, they turn into boyfriends. That's the exceptional dates.
Okay. All right. Fine. Okay. I've got maybe just a couple of exceptional dates that I think that didn't go to plan, that didn't whatever else, but I remember thinking, fuck.
And yeah.
It's not necessarily because I've ended up with them people. It's just what I thought. Someone's taught me something, or I've learned something, or it wasn't that same shit that you do on a date. Don't get me wrong, that same shit can be great with different people because you are still learning about different people and you're learning about their shit, but you do follow a bit of a pattern. And actually, how many times have you been on a date and it's just like, fuck, like I've never done, it's never been like this before. That to me is what an exceptional date is.
Got you. Totally makes sense. Totally. I appreciate, as always, your honesty.
Yeah, that's going to sound terrible. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, like dates are, I love dating.
No, it doesn't. You've always been open about your dates are great. Like, you know, you've never said like, it was a shit date.
But exceptional dates are the ones where you kind of, And I think when you dated quite a bit, and obviously we're a bit older, we are in our 30s, so we both dated a fair bit. Having a date that kind of makes you go, wow, is quite rare.
Yeah.
You can come back from a date and go,
I actually miss having dates like that, to be fair.
Yeah. Because I think it doesn't happen. Like, I can go on a date and go, oh, do you know what? I had such a great time. It was really good. It was this happened. And like, I've told you some stories about some of my dates where I've been like,
You definitely have.
Oh, fucking hell. Let's move on, shall we?
No, sharing corner here.
No, let's not share them.
No, maybe not those ones. But you have had some good dates, and I get. I mean, exceptions are quite a high standard. I've definitely had some fucking decent dates, but they were the ones that have turned into boyfriends because I'm like, yeah, I like your time. I like spending time with you. So let's be a boyfriend and girlfriend.
So in your 30s, then, you just said like Bali maybe has released the pressure or whatever else.
Yeah.
What do you look for in a date? Are you more picky about who you're going to date with? Is that the key, do you think, in your 30s? Do you think in your 20s, you kind of, if there's a chance for a date, if I can do it. Whereas in your 30s, regardless of whether you're getting asked, because listen, you're a beautiful girl, like you're a delightful person and I love you with all my heart. So a lot of people are going to want to date you, Stacey. So is it now in your 30s you're a bit more picky about actually, do I really want to go on a date with that person? Whereas in your 20s, you'd probably be a bit more open to going, yeah, fuck it, why not?
To be honest with you, I've always been quite picky. I've never really, like the same thing with you about having
She's
these,
so
like, shit.
Picky. That's a great song. You should listen to that song after this, actually. It reminds me of you. Teddy Swims, Picky, do the acoustic version. Carry on.
I fucking will. Okay, carry on. I've always had quite good dates because I'm quite good at seeing the red flags, and I know I can kind of tell when someone's just going to be a crack. And sometimes I just want a crack.
Is so that
I'm
good?
Like, do you know what?
Be a crack, like as a in crack. Like a laugh.
Crack, like a laugh, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like, and sometimes you just wanna go on and have a nice evening with someone. So I think it's not about me being or looking for something different now. It's more, I just value my time way more now. So when someone says, do you want to go on a date? The question I ask myself is, what do I want to? Because do I want to share my time with you? Or would I rather be with friends? Or would I rather be on my own? Because I value my time. My self-worth has gone up. So if someone's, and I don't mean this in a cocky way, like your time is precious, my time is precious, but I really think about, you know, do I want to share that with you? Because there's nothing worse than, and I definitely still make these mistakes. You know, you spend 6 hours or so and you think, I just gave 6 hours of my time to you and that was not what I wanted. So, and it's disappointing. That pisses me off.
Last question then.
Go on.
What would you tell your 20-year-old self about dating now?
If you... Because my dating, I'd say, just do exactly what you've been doing. Fucking enjoy it. Get smashed. Don't get smashed. Get drunk. Don't get drunk. Do everything you've done. Like, there's no regrets in my dating.
This is what I
would say...
Go on.
No, what I would say with boyfriends is I would say to my 20-year-old self, when you have that inkling or that intuition speaks and it's saying, don't go down that road, don't date that person or don't make that person a boyfriend, fucking listen to it. Listen to your gut. Yeah. Because okay. I would be, you know, I wouldn't have all these fucking heartache.
And on that note, what a beautiful way to finish today's topic of dating in your 20s and 30s by two very single 30-year-old plus people.
That was nice and gentle.
Want to make a fact tape?
Who said that?
Really like that topic. Interesting one. So that's just our point of view, boys, girls, yeah. Lads,
again,
ladies.
Yes, it's just our point of view. It's not, you know, doesn't mean it's the way that everyone else has to do it.
So that's the end of this week's topic. And we are going to come on to our favourite time of the show. But you are listening to The Dating Show on FUBAR Radio. Now, listen, do you want to...
I'm so ready for it.
Do you want... Should we?
A little bit of a voice note, you mean?
Do you want to do it?
Well, I mean, unless you want to imitate her, but I feel like we should let her speak her own story, maybe?
Should we?
What Pete's getting at is we've got a dating story. We're ready for listeners' questions and answers, stories. And we're going to let this woman actually speak her own story rather than do it for her. Her name's Victoria. She's got a story. Let's let Victoria speak. Where's Victoria from?
Birmingham.
Okay, she's from Birmingham. Victoria from Birmingham, what is your dating story?
I came home from work one day and I was on the phone to my mum. I said, Mum, I've got to go. The front door is open. There's really weird noise coming from our house. So I hung up, went inside. Our front door had been crowbarred in and the house had been turned upside down. They'd been through like all the drawers. They'd only taken a couple of things, but decided as their parting gift to leave my vibrator buzzing away on the radiator right by the front door. So my housemates are like, let's leave it where it is. There might be good DNA fingerprints on there. So we leave it vibrating away overnight. During this time, our landlord comes over to check out the damage, gets his face quite close to the vibrator before asking, what is this? And my boyfriend's like, in the most casual tone, oh, it's just a vibrator. But yeah, that night we put a load of glass bottles by the door to make sure that if anyone came in, they'd smash the bottles and wake us up. And this was the pre-work from home era. So I sent a message to my work WhatsApp saying, guys, won't be in tomorrow. I've got the police coming over. And like, this is the situation of our front door been burgled. Not realizing that the vibrator featured in the corner of this picture. So now all my colleagues know, and my boyfriend's dad's coming around the next day. Luckily, the forensics guy arrives just before him. And he's quite young, finds the whole thing hilarious, genuinely saying he can't wait to tell his mates about this. But he was such a legend and like hid this vibrator from my boyfriend's dad, which was no longer buzzing, by the way, at this point. It had died overnight. But yeah, forensics guy was so subtle and just finding it hilarious. But at the end of the work, he asked if he could swab me. And my boyfriend's dad was like, why don't you need to swab everyone? And he was like, well, we found the most DNA in her room, so we need it for elimination. Good on him. But then once he'd finished and left, I threw the vibrator in the bin. And obviously that day, my boyfriend's dad decides to go and put something in the bin. And I literally have to physically stop him. And I can't remember how, but I remember being very awkward. Luckily avoided that. But yes, mortifying. And there are several pictures of said vibrator, forensics man, me being swabbed to help illustrate this story, which I'm sure you can imagine my friends get much satisfaction out of sharing.
What a quality story.
Love that story.
That was brilliant.
Victoria, we like stories like that.
That was brilliant. She told that very well as well.
Yes.
It had a start, a middle, and an end.
Vibrating Victoria. That is your new name. What a fucking great story. A couple of things I just want to pull out of there. Glass bottles behind the door in case anyone broke it. Great. What a great idea. Never thought that. I don't think I would think of that.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, great idea. So very, I love that. Well done.
Is that all?
No. You just said that there was a number of pictures. I wouldn't mind seeing one.
I wouldn't mind seeing them.
Victoria, I know obviously you might not want everyone to know that that's you, but even if you could just email one to us so that me and Cece could see it, we won't even show it on here.
Promise.
Just because I think it's quite funny. I would like to see the vibrator. That sounded weird.
Fuck, that's actually a really, really decent story.
Yeah, we like that one.
Thank you, Victoria.
Victoria, thank you very much. We love that. Happy vibrations. Sending good vibrations your way. Next up, we've got some dating advice from Becca. Okay. You ready for this, Cece?
Give it to me.
I'm trying to get back into dating, but as soon as I tell someone I'm a widow, they ghost me. What can I do to actually get myself a successful date? Do you know what? Nothing. There's absolutely nothing you can do. I think it's just about the people that you're dating. Eventually, you'll find someone where it's a fucking tough one, that, isn't it, really? But I don't think it's on you, and I don't think there's anything you can specifically do.
No, my only question would be is how long ago was it? Because that will affect how you tell someone. So if it was within the last year and you're trying to date, I'm sure the delivery of that isn't, it could be slightly emotional. And if someone's seeing emotion, you know, then it's like when you break up with your ex and you date too quickly, you know that person's not over them. So if that's the case, maybe that's why you're not getting these successful dates. And it could just be a sign saying maybe just take a bit more time and work on, you know, enjoying yourself with your friends and getting back to you again, because I can only imagine that's one of the most traumatic things that can happen to someone.
Yeah.
That would be my
actually, yes, thought. Very good advice, Cece.
Why, thank you.
Very good. But yeah, I don't think it's, and for me, I don't think it's something that you can necessarily help or do anything about.
No.
You know, it is shit.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. That is really
sad. We are very sorry, Becca. But there will be a man out there for you.
There will be.
Right.
Have we got another one? Have we got time? Clip free. Oh, we got advice.
More advice. And Jessica.
Jessica from Fulham.
You think she's from Fulham?
Yeah.
I think she's Jessica from Clapham.
Oh, don't go with the London vibe, just because I went in with a London vibe. And you're probably right, actually. I feel like Jessica does live in Clapham.
Jessica, what have you got for us?
What you got?
What you got?
Hi, guys. I'd love to get your advice on a dilemma I've got at the moment. So, been on a few dates with this guy and everything's going well. Speaking every day, you know, he seemed quite keen. And I asked him to meet up again and he said, yeah, sure, you know, we'll see if he's free. So the next day I get a text saying he's COVID positive and sends me a picture. So in Wales, we've got a quarantine, so I knew I wouldn't see him. So fine, totally cool. But what he failed to realise is that on the app that we matched on, it tells me his location, and I could see that he'd just been going about travelling around all the while telling me that he's in quarantine and not going to work. So my instinct is that maybe he lied and said he had COVID so that he didn't have to see me, in which case I think, well, why didn't he just say he doesn't want to see me? You know, we're all adults. But I'd love to know how you deal with this. Would you pick him up on it? And without sounding like some kind of mental stalker, how would you go about that? Or do I just let it go? So I'd love to know what you would do. And yeah, I'd really appreciate your advice. So thanks so much.
CC, it's one for you. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Okay, so the adult response, the 30s response would be let it go, because fuck him. If he's lying, he's not someone that you want in your life anyway. So it's actually really easy just to remove him. Like there's, if you antagonize someone or antagonize it, then yeah, it's never going to come out as a positive. He could accuse you of being like, oh, fuck it, stop stalking me. And that's the last thing you want. So just fucking let it go. 20 year old me would,
turn up at his ass.
yeah. The fuck? Pete, your thoughts? What would you think?
I think it all depends on... So you've met on a dating app, and sorry, I can't remember if you'd seen him already once.
No, I don't think they had.
Oh, you've not seen him at all? Oh, if you've not seen him at all, it's really... Yeah, I completely agree with Cece. Let it go. If it was someone you'd been dating for a while...
So
it depends how long you've been seeing each other then. So if you've seen each other a few times, I think you're well within your rights to go, you know what, it's a bit fucking weird because the dating app says you're traveling all over the shop. Has someone got your phone? You know what I mean? Like you can do it in a way that doesn't, that isn't going, you know, what are you doing? Where are you? But I would, if you've seen someone a few times and you're sort of in that dating stage, I think you're well within your rights just to say,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's happening here? But I think it's the way you do it.
You're right.
It's like a stalker. It's
but also, so fucking what? I just think so fucking what?
There might be a reason why he might actually be isolated. There might be a reason why the thing's not doing that. And if they actually get on and they're nice, then potentially you're giving up on something just because you haven't got the answer.
Nice. Yeah, but you know, so, if we worry too much about how we sound, then we don't actually get the message out. So
you mean fuck it as in ask him?
Yeah,
like if they've been on, fuck him off.
No. If you've been on a few dates, ask him. Yeah, the app says that you're all over the place. Ha ha, lol, smiley face, jokes, laughing, all that shit.
Yeah, middle finger.
Fucking twat. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just about how you do
and
it.
And then block him.
if you make it sound like a serious big deal, then there's an opportunity where someone will get defensive and then make you sound like a stalker.
I mean, but if he's lying anyway, he probably is going to have that reaction,
His response will give you an idea. If he is lying, you might be able to tell that, and you'll get a gut reaction to that, which, as Cece said earlier on, trust your gut.
Trust your gut, hon.
So I would, if you've seen him, I'd bring it up. Fuck it. You're not a stalker.
I haven't caught anyone out in a long time.
We got no one to catch out. That's why, babe. Sorry, that sounded savage. I didn't mean that. Right. You can catch me out anytime you want.
Turn the knife. Fuck me. Yeah. Actually, I have recently. I'll tell you about it after that. Actually, I've totally made that up.
Oh, you do have. Oh,
what, do you know what? The message for today is, this is a new thing. The message today is the truth always comes out.
The truth always got. Yeah, I agree with that one. The truth has fucked me over a number of times. that would be the advice, Jessica, is fuck it. Ask him, because it is a bit weird. And you never know, there might be an answer for it, but chances are he's probably lying. Sorry about that. You've got a fabulous voice, though. Love a little Welsh accent.
She has. She wasn't from Fulham or Clapham, but yeah.
No, she wasn't. Oh, look, just in case we all wanted to see Cece's legs. If you are listening and you can't see, Cece is spread wide open for me right now.
This is called a happy baby.
It's, and it looks.
Because it's what babies do, right? When they grab their feet, don't they? And then they get like that.
I am really appreciating how flexible you are, but it makes me feel slightly disgusting in myself.
Happy baby.
I struggle to get up in the mornings. So, everyone, thank you for listening to The Dating Show. Thank you for your listeners' questions and stories. You can share yours by emailing us on thedatingshow@foobarradio.com. We love hearing from you. We love your voice.
We love it.
your stories. And if you do want advice from two fucking numpties, then please ask us. You can also keep up with everything that we do on our Instagram, which is the home, the HQ, the hub of everything, the dating show, which is at the dating underscore show. That is it from us. Me and Cece are off to make 50. I hope you all have a fabulous day. Lots of love, good wishes, namaste, and happy babies.